ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಇರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಗಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಚಂದ್ರ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಬಲದೆ ಸುಭದ್ರ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ್ನತಾಯ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀನಿವಾಸ್ ಬಾಲಾಜಿ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಸಮಾವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಪಾವನ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕಿ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌತ್ಮಾನಂದಿ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುಃ ಉನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಃ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋಃ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣೀ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। I wanted to know how many are majority, whether English devotees are majority or Hindi devotees majority. Just check it. You can stand here and just check. Accordingly, I'll speak in English or Hindi.
इतने लोग हिंदी ही समझते हैं।
Very few, see? Right now? Mostly English speaking devotees. I'll speak in English. Today we are reading from the 73rd chapter. You can tell also, you can tell. We are reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam from the 73rd chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called Lord Krishna Blesses the Liberated Kings. Chapters like this are very valuable for us to know how in our practice of devotional service we can pray to Krishna, and especially understanding our predicament and precarious position. So this is one of my favorite chapters, although many very few people may speak about it, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are the prayers. You will see what wonderful prayers they offer. As you all know, 20,800 kings were arrested by Jarasandha. One thing which is very familiar to all of us is the 16,000 princesses who were arrested by Bhaumasura were released by Krishna. And Krishna married all of them and made them his queens. Similarly, Jarasandha arrested 20,800 kings also. And his goal was to offer them all in Narabali. Kill them all. That was his plan. He had actually stored them in jails. So at one point of time, when Krishna was sitting in Dwaraka, a letter came from the kings through a messenger. And Krishna was considering whether to go to Rajasuya Yajna or to go to liberate these kings. So he asked advice from Uddhava. As per Uddhava's plan, Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna, they all dressed as Brahmanas. They went to Jarasandha's place. That is another pastime. I am not narrating that. If I narrate that, the class will get over. So we are going to highlight one important portion of this chapter. So here, finally, after killing Jarasandha, the jail doors are opened and all the kings are getting darshan of Krishna. That is explained in this chapter. As soon as the king saw Krishna, how they fell to the ground offering him obeisances, they joined their palms in Anjali Mudra and they started offering prayers to him. In fact, they will, in their prayers, you will see the quality of their consciousness, which is very beautiful. It comes out here. So the first verse, Shri Shuka Uvacha. So I will only read selected verses, I will not read all of them. The second verse you will see. Okay. Ayute dve shatan yashtau niruddha yudhi nirjitaha te nirgata giridronyam malina malavasasah. See, malina means very dirty clothes. The king's clothes had become very dirty. Malavasasa. Kshukshama shushkavadana samrodha parikarshitaha tadrushuste ghanashyamam pitakaushe yavasasam. They're saying kshukshama. They were all emaciated by hunger. And their faces had become dried up, because they never applied oil, never dressed. They were all completely put in the jail for a very long period of time. And they were very weak and parikarshitaha, it is said, by samrodha parikarshitaha. At that time, in that situation, when the door of the jail opened, the king's condition is explained here. How their faces were dry, their bodies were, their clothes were very dirty. And they were in the jail. Nobody could understand their kings. They were like in a very deserted situation for many, many long years. Dadrushuhu, at that time they saw. What did they see? Ghanashyamam, Pita Kaushaya Vasasam. They saw the dark blue Krishna wearing pitambar with beautiful jewelry and ornaments. And Pita Kaushaya Vasasam. Srivat Sankam Chaturbahum Padma Garbharunekshanam. Padma means lotus, Garbha means inside the lotus, whirl of a lotus. Arunekshanam. The Lord's eyes were like lotus petals, and the Lord was standing in a 400 form as Vasudeva Krishna. Charu Prasanna Vadanam Sphuran Makara Kundalam. Lord had a smiling, beautiful face. Suran Makara Kundalam, and the earrings of the Lord were glittering, shining very beautifully. Padma Hastam Gada Shankha Ratangai Rupalakshitam Kirita Hara Kataka Kati Sutranga Danchitam. See, as opposed to the king's pathetic condition, here the beautiful face of Krishna with the shark-shaped earrings and the lotus hands holding the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma and his beautiful kirita, mukuta and jeweled necklace and gold bracelets and armlets, and the Kati Sutra means the jeweled belt, the Lord's hips, all are described very beautifully. Brajat means shining, yeah, and also Kaustubha Mani in the chest, as it says. Brajat Varamani Grivam Nivitam Vanamalaya Pibanta Iva Chakshurbhyam Lihanta Iva Jihvyata Jihvayata Lihanta Iva Jihvaya. See, Pibanta Iva Chakshurbhyam means with their eyes they were drinking the beauty of Krishna. And with their tongue, just like one would lick payasam or sweet rice. Like that they were drinking the beauty of Krishna when they saw this. After a long time they got this darshan. Jigranta iva nasabhyam rambanta iva bahubihi. Jigranta means with their noses they were smelling Krishna's great fragrance. And rambanta iva bahubihi, with their arms they were embracing Krishna. Pranemur hata papmano Murdabhipadayor Harehe. Yeah. See, Pranayamur, they all offered obeisances. Hatha Papmano means completely their sinful reactions destroyed merely by the sight of Krishna. Simply by seeing this beautiful form of Krishna. Hatha Papmano, it says. Murdabhihi Padayor Harehe. They put their head at the lotus feet of Krishna and they offered obeisances. Like that he explains. So, in this verse, two descriptions are there. One is of the king's situation and another one of the lord's situation. So, our situation is like this king's, because we have been in this material world for a very long time. Since time immemorial. We don't know how long ago we came to this material world. And as he describes here, you know, malavasasaha, the clothes are dirty, malina, malavasasaha. Similarly, he says, kshukshamaha, emaciated by hunger, shushkavadana, faces dried up by living in this place for a long time. So the jail of Jarasandha represents the material world. And we all have been put in this material world for a very long time. And the living being in this world, because of hard struggle for happiness, eventually becomes emaciated, eventually becomes ugly, and big struggle. And after millions of lifetimes, he comes across a Vaishnava Guru, by whose blessings he get to see this darshan of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Such a beautiful form. And even very new people, when they come and see Lord so beautifully decorated and dressed, they develop attraction for the Lord. So, now, putting ourselves in the situation of these kings, we can see their prayers now, which is very soon going to come here. Yeah. And the next verse says that, Krishna Sandarshan Ahlada, Dvasta Svamrodhana Klamaha, Prashashamsur Hrishikesham, Girve Pranjalayo Nripaha. Here it says that the ecstasy of seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, it dispelled their tiredness. Just like the same thing happened with Markandeya Rishi also. When he saw the Vatapatrashayi Krishna, the blue baby lying in the the leaf, banyan and tree leaf, in the midst of the great pralaya, actually was very tired, extremely weary, tired, and bruises all over his body. But seeing the beautiful form of that blue baby, his tiredness was finished. Similarly, they also, they didn't mind the imprisonment for such a long period of time, because they thought, oh, it's really worth it. It's worth all our imprisonment, because if this is the fruit of our imprisonment, we don't mind having suffered so long. Immediately the king stood up and folded their palms in Pranjalayo, it is said. And they are offering prayers here. You see, wonderful prayers. Rajana Uchuhu. Namaste Deva Devesha. Prapannarti Haravyaya. Prapannan Pahina Krishna. Nirvinnan Ghora Samsritehi. So we will read Chakravarti Thakur's beautiful commentary here. See, some of the words he explains very nicely here. He's saying here, they are using the word nirvinna, you see. We are disgusted with material life. We have become detached from enjoyment, all types of material enjoyment, because of experiencing suffering, they are saying. Sometimes in this world, experiencing suffering can inspire us to give up mental enjoyment. After we are frustrated, one understands the futility of mental enjoyment by suffering. And that they will explain also in the subsequent verses. I don't have to give examples, because sometimes examples become very pointed. People become frightened, maybe they're all talking about me only or something. But it is a fact, each and every one of us, we have experience, and the kings will explain in the future verses about this. And then they are saying that actually protect us from the samsara, which is very fearful. Why?
not because it gives suffering, they are saying, because it makes us forgetful of you. So let us not forget you. You are a prapannarthi hara. Prapanna means surrendered. Arthi means suffering. Prapannarthi means those who are suffering souls, they surrender to you. Hara means you remove their suffering. And what is the suffering you remove? You remove forgetfulness. Actually, the physical suffering arising from cycle of birth and death is not a very great pain. You will be seeing in the later verses, these kings are telling the Lord, we are not praying to you for moksha. We are not praying to you for Indraloka or Brahmaloka or anything like that. They are saying, we are not even praying for prema. Now you may be shocked. What if prema is our aspiration? How can they say that? Because they are saying, why are we not praying for prema? Because we are not qualified. We are praying for remembrance, they are saying. Give us remembrance, and by constant remembrance, we will get prema. Now we are ashamed and we are unqualified to even ask you for Krishna prema also. And we are not asking you for the taste of the chanting of holy name. Who are we to ask for the taste and chanting of the holy name? We have not qualified ourselves. Therefore, help us to not forget you and remember you while chanting the holy name. Because remembering you and chanting the holy name will give us taste. So, you know, give us the strength to follow the devotional path so that we can qualify for the taste of chanting the holy name. What a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Instead of saying, Hare Krishna, give me the taste for chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, give me Krishna prem. They're not asking like that. So therefore, you know, what I liked in these prayers is this. Many times, we imagine that we are already doing devotional service wonderfully, and then Krishna should be standing right in the front and offering us benediction after benediction. Instead, these kings are offering prayers which even amazed Krishna also. When Krishna heard these prayers, he was thrilled to hear this. He's appreciating them. At the end, he's going to bless them also after hearing the prayers. What Krishna liked in their prayers is their sense of taking responsibility for their devotional service. They were looking at themselves, what am I doing for the Lord to offer me blessing and benediction? So they are saying that we were in the jail, arrested in the jail, locked up, and our dresses are dirty and our body is emaciated. And probably they would not have eaten good food. They had lost all respect. And nobody would even look at them. They were practically in a very pathetic situation. But that doesn't make us feel that we are suffering. The greater suffering in this world is to live in the jail of such a person like Jarasandha. Such a situation of kingdom of such a person can put us to forgetfulness. So we only want remembrance of you. So prapanna arthi hara means our arthi is what? Our suffering is forgetfulness of you. So now that you are coming in front of us in such a beautiful form, you know, with your smiling face and shining and glittering ornaments and wearing pitambar and, you know, shining bluish body, like a sapphire. So when we look at you, this remembrance that you are offering us, this is like amritam. This is nectarian for us. And having achieved this, we feel ourselves completely blessed, they are saying. Ninth verse. Nainam natana suyamo magadam madusudana anugraho yadbhavato rajnyam rajyachyutir vibho. See, they are saying that the words they are using here, that na enam nata anasoyamaha magadam Madhusudana. Magadam is actually Magadaka Raja. Who is that? Jarasandha. Na anasoyamo. We are not envious or angry with the king of Magadha, Jarasandha. Why are they saying this? You know, we may think that because this fellow put us in jail, because this fellow took away our kingdom, because he didn't feed us properly and maintain us well, and he mistreated us like animals, kept in a zoo. So he mistreated us. So for all these things, we are not angry with him, nor are we envious of him. Why? They are saying, since it is actually by your mercy that the kings fall from the royal position of Almighty Lord. they are saying that we don't feel any hatred towards, bitterness towards Jarasandha, because you took away our kingship and in turn you gave us your darshan, mercy. Now one can compare this to the kings losing their kingdom. They are going to say how they lost their kingdom, because they mutually had a big fight with each other, several kings, and Jarasandha took advantage of that and he usurped their kingdoms and put them all in the jail. That they will be saying that eventually. In India also it happened when at one time the foreign invaders came, like Mughals ruled India for 700 years. At that time the Hindu kings had fight with one another themselves in order to expand their own kingdom. And in that fight, the invaders took advantage because of that. So that they will be telling later. But now, at that time, they were all trying to expand their kingdom, stabilize their proprietorship, increase their controllership, and delight in mastership. So these three things in this world, you can remember this. Proprietorship, controllership, enjoyership. So we all want to possess, control and enjoy. You'll remember this? How many of you think it's easy to remember now? After seeing the action, it is very easy, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you know, like parents may want to have children to possess and control the children and enjoy being their swami. Of course, a true parent, a Vedic parent, has a balance of love and fear, a combination of love and fear. But here the king is talking about anybody who is in any type of leadership. You will see in this world there is a very strong deep-rooted tendency for proprietorship. Recently I read one sentence in Prabhupada's Elevation to Krishna Consciousness, which was so thrilling to read. Prabhupada says, actually Lakshmiji is the one who trains all living entities how to serve Narayana. The meaning of the word Narayana means Nara, means all of us, Naras. Ayana means repository. So Nara Ayana becomes Narayana, which means Lord Narayana, whose navel becomes the residence of all the jivas. He is called Narayana. And Lakshmiji is massaging his lotus feet, always serving him. She is Ardhangini of Lord Narayana. And she is a Jagannamata who is training everybody to serve the Lord. And you will, to that effect, you will see in Ramayana also, Lord Ram is served by Lakshman or Bharat and Hanuman, Sugriva, Guha, Vibhishana, and needless to say about Mother Sita, who was a constant companion of Ram, isn't it? But there was only one fellow who did not want to serve, which everybody knows. He not only wanted to be independent, but he wanted to accumulate gold, accumulate possessions, which means he wanted to have everything of this world himself, to feel big, at the same time show off as the biggest. So these are two strong desires of a conditioned soul. He wants to possess a lot and feel big, and then he also wants to show off his prestige and status to the people in the world as big. Now what happens by this? The problem is, the Lord created this beautiful world in which he has given every living entity his quota. Tena taktena hunjita ma krita kasya suddhanam, it is said. If all jivas take their quota and they become satisfied, just like for example in a sabji you can put some amount of salt which makes the sabji tasty, but if you take too much salt, what happens? Nobody will like the sabji, isn't it? Or if there is less salt, again the sabji is not very tasty. Although you eat the sabji, you don't feel satisfaction. After eating prasad, you feel something missing today. You don't feel the satisfaction. Similarly, if you have less goods in this world, you cannot, you know, live happily, because if your poverty is stricken, your mind will be in anxiety. You need enough money. And then if you accumulate too much money, then there is a tendency for us to misuse that money for our sense gratification. So in this world, jivas do two things. One is accumulating more and more wealth. Another one is chasing after more and more sense gratification. These two things they do. And you can see, everybody is allowed to have a quota. For example, you can have a house, but you keep altar of the Lord in the house and you make the house into a temple. One is allowed to eat food. You eat moderate amount of food called mithabuk. And you have a healthy body so that you can serve Krishna. But you will find that people don't just eat moderate amount of food. People generally tend to undereat or overeat, everybody knows. So when we overeat, and then what happens, we go to sleep. Instead of getting energy to serve Krishna, we go to sleep. And after getting up from sleep, we get strength by which we want to do sense gratification. So you will see that in this way, the living entities have a tendency to take more than necessary. They go from necessity to luxury. There is a line between the two. They always have a tendency to go beyond necessity to go to the zone of luxury. When they go to the zone of luxury, then they accumulate more and more and more, which is called atyahara, we call it. And in that accumulation, definitely they have to encroach upon what belongs to others. Like for example, children are taken to your room so that they won't make any noise during the class. You give them some toys to play. But some children want to collect all the toys. And other children come, they will kick with their feet. Hey, get lost. Don't come here. And when the same children grow up, they will become like Alexander. Alexander wanted to take all the countries in the world and he wanted to kick off everybody. Correct, no? So, this tendency of over-accumulation, preparatorship, and then lording over, which is called control, and then enjoying. These propensities, actually Prabhupada explains there in that, giving the quote of idam adyamaya labdam imam prapse manoratam idam apsti idam apime bhavishyanti punardhanam. Those series of verses talk about a person who over accumulates wealth, and then he's saying asauhatamaya shatruhu hanishye chaparanapi. If somebody has a hotel, somebody else starts a hotel, he becomes enemy. Somebody has a textile shop, another fellow starts a textile shop, becomes enemy. Somebody has a tuition center, another fellow starts a tuition center, he becomes enemy. Like in one place, one devotee started a tuition center, another devotee also started a tuition center in the same city. Now both of them are running tuitions, so they both came for blessings to me. You know? So one of them said, oh, I said so and so has a tuition center also. I told him, yes, Prabhuji, he is my rival, he was telling. Then I said, hey, he is a Arakshana devotee also. You flourish and he can also flourish. Both can flourish. So both of you run the center well and both of you flourish. Either I blessed both of them. But I said, whoever brings more devotees will flourish more. Isn't it? So in this world you will find that people become rivals in this world because there is a tendency for encroaching on others and increasing one's preparatorship. And Prabhupada says, living entities with insatiable lust want unlimited amount of ownership as well as unlimited amount of sense gratification, he says. Due to which they hurt themselves and hurt others also. Like that he says. And here is where, and then further says, it doesn't stop here. Prabhupada says one individual becomes a hero like Hitler or Alexander or any great such people, and they dominate the living entities. By possessing more and dominating and lording over living entities, they get enjoyment. And while doing that, another fellow comes. Similar asura, another asura comes. Therefore, he says, Ashapashashatairbaddha kama krodha parayanaha ihante kama bhogartham anyayena arthasanchayanda. Anyay comes. Illegally accumulating wealth, proprietorship, everything. So, another fellow comes. Then these two people, when they fight, in that fight, the civilians are affected because this fellow is powerful, this fellow is less powerful. So, because then he creates terrorists and he sends terrorists into the society and they affect the civilians by putting bomb blasts in the trains. And the civilians get affected, they suffer because of that. So, the civilians say, "Arey, why are you two guys quarreling? Shanti, 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 live peacefully." But it is not possible to live peacefully with insatiable lust and desires. Therefore, all of us as devotees, in our own situation, why we have to cultivate satisfaction, here is the reason. Everybody is allotted a certain quota by the Lord. And when we get that, one should know that Lord has put me in a certain situation, He is giving me certain things. Let me accept it and peacefully do bhajan and go back to Godhead. And the spiritual world is a competition-less society. But material world means, you know, jivo jiva se jivanam. All jivas are trying to encroach upon others and eat others and dominate others. And spiritual world is jiyo jineido. Correct? You can remember this too. Spiritual world means? Material world? Yeah. Jeevo jeevasya jeevanam. I want to eat you, you want to eat me. Everybody is like that. Even small snakes are eaten by bigger snakes. Small fishes are eaten by bigger fishes. Big shopping malls eat small shops. Isn't it? Yeah. Smart, intelligent students, they swallow the jobs of mediocre students. You can see that that is material world. Jeevo jeevasya jeevanam. But the beauty of spiritual world is, your vacancy is there, still there. Nobody can occupy it. Who can occupy it? Who? Only you can. Therefore, there is no threat for you in the spiritual world. You, that seat is Kali now. Krishna is waiting. When will this fellow come back? You can go and occupy. Nobody will occupy it. It's available in train. Instead of boarding in Pune, if you board in Lonavala, the seat is already occupied by somebody. TT says, you came late. You cannot get the seat. But in spiritual world, there is no competition. You know, if somebody else is dancing, you can also dance. Not that if he dances, you cannot dance. If somebody else is eating prasad, you can also eat prasad, because prasad is unlimited there also, isn't it? Somebody loves Krishna, it's not that you cannot love. In this world, if one boy wants to marry one girl, then you cannot marry her. That is the material world. Whereas one boy loves Krishna, you can also love Krishna. Everybody can love Krishna without any competition. Therefore, spiritual world is a competitionless society. In the material world, if there is one vacancy in a company, you go to sit in the interview, a topper of the class comes, immediately you look up and down, why this fellow came here? Because if he takes a job, then you won't have a job, you see. But in spiritual world, there is no scarcity, no vacancy. I mean, nobody can steal your vacancy there. So therefore, this chapter is a beautiful chapter. So they are saying now, Rajyaishwaryo Madonnadho Na shreyo vindate nrupah Tvan maya mohito nitya Manyate sampado achalaha. They are saying that we became very proud, infatuated of our opulence and ruling power. A king loses all self-restraint. He is saying, and bewildered by your maya shakti. And he considers the temporary assets to be permanent. Oh, one important thing I forgot to tell you. Why they did not feel envy for Jarasandha? Because Jarasandha capturing these fellows and putting them in the jail made them humble. And because they became humble and helpless, they took shelter of Lord Krishna in their minds and hearts. And they sent a letter to Krishna through somebody. And seeing that letter, Krishna has come to give darshan. Which means, how they are decoding it? Because Jarasandha captured and brought us and arrested us, we are getting darshan of Krishna. Therefore, thanks to Jarasandha. Neither they are saying. Amazing, no? So, thanks Jarasandha for taking away your kingdom. Keep the kingdom with you, but we got Krishna's darshan. So, we are very fortunate. Like that they are saying. Therefore, in our lives, if anybody caused us trouble, and if that trouble made us humble, if that humility made us advance in devotion service, what we should do to them? Thank you. Can tell them, thank you for giving trouble. If trouble can give us Krishna, welcome to that trouble. Isn't it? Who said that? Very familiar? Kunti said that. So they are also saying like that. See, in the purport it is said, Unnadda means intoxicated by false pride. Such a person goes beyond the limits of proper behavior. So, then blinded by wealth and power, how he becomes foolish and he acts whimsically against nature and God, such a person. So, you will see, they will give examples for this a little later. Who are the people who got such power and they all misused it? In one of the verses, probably I think Krishna will give that thing. Actually, one of the verses, all the kings blinded by power, their names were their list. Anybody can? Like kings like Vena and all types of those kings. Anyway, they are saying further, See the text number 11. They are saying, Mrigatrishnam yatha bala manyata udakashayam manyata udakashayam evam vaikariki mayam yukta vastu chakshate. He is giving an example here. People who have a childish intelligence, they consider the mirage to be real. They consider the mayas things to be real. See, the material world is filled with illusion, and there is even illusion within illusion also. I'll give you an example, you will understand it. When, you know, in our school days, we used to drink this fruity, very fond of fruity, because it's exactly like mango juice. Sometimes in summer season you can get mango, other seasons you can't get, but fruity you can get round the clock, throughout the year. So we used to drink fruity often. One time when I drank the fruity, and then there is a dotted line put up there, cut it. So when I cut it and saw inside, there was a worm inside. And then I was vomiting practically. Then our chemistry teacher was telling, this fruity and all you should not drink. She said, why? She said, this is not fruit juice. And we couldn't believe it. She said, this is starch. In starch, they have put some yellow color. Plus, they have put some mango flavor chemical. It's a chemical they have put, so that it looks like, tasting like mango. And why is it, why they use starch? Because starch is very sticky and viscous. So it will give you the feeling of mango pulp. See how tricky they are. People make you feel, nowadays people use this plastic chatais, but they make it look like a real chatai. You know that color they put? How many of you have seen that? You have seen that? Why they make it look like a organic chatai? Why they make it look like that? Plastic ones. Otherwise plastic ones nobody want to buy nowadays. Similarly, I went to some place, they put a banana leaf. I thought after a long time I am going to eat a banana leaf. Then I saw it was a paper banana leaf. Similarly, this fruity looks like mango juice. Is it mango juice? No. And outside is written, contains no fruit juice or fruit pulp in small letters. So this is how Maya's gifts are also present in this world. He is saying that in the Maya offers many temporary gifts like the big kingdoms, and the gold and silver and elephants and horses and people following doing Jai Jakar. All these things they are saying that we got all these things, but these things are temporary, like the cloud in the sky. A cloud sometimes looks like an elephant. Another time cloud looks like a big castle. In this way, cloud looks in different formations, but ultimately the cloud withers away in the sky and the sky becomes clean. Similarly, in this world, whatever proprietorship or possessions we all accumulate, they are gradually dissolved. Therefore, they're all insubstantial, they are saying. And then they are saying, Vayam pura śrīmadanaṣṭa drishtayo jigīṣayāsya itaretaraspṛdaḥ granta prajāsvā atinirgṛṇā prabho mṛtyum purastvā viganayya durmadāḥ tayev kṛṣṇādya gabhīra ramhasā duranta vīryeṇa vicālitā śriyaḥ kālena tanvā bhavato nukampayā vinashta darpā charaṇau smarāmate. See, they are saying, Vayam Pura. Pura means before. Shri Mada Nashta Drishtayo. Shri Mada. Because of our opulence, we became intoxicated. We became intoxicated. And Nashta Drishti means what? Blinded. Drishti means sight. Nashta Drishti means Drishti is destroyed. So, Pura means, oh, dear Lord, we people, we became very blinded by our opulences that we possessed. See, you all know this. Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, Shribir, Yedamana, Madapumana. See, the jiva desires to accumulate some opulence in bigger quantity to show off, but in the course of accumulating, he becomes proud. See the problem. See, who is the person here who would like to be the most handsome? Everybody will say. Who would like to be the most rich? Everybody would say. But there are problems associated with being most handsome or being most rich. Because rich people have threat of being murdered. Similarly, the most handsome actors and actresses there, all the time the flashlights are on their face and they can't live a civil life peacefully. Many people are behind them. They are attacked. So in this world you will find the more you possess, there are dangers from outside and danger from inside. What is the danger from inside? Pride. What is the danger from outside? I told you. So in this way, the more one possesses opulences, there are dangers from within and without. And then they are saying, jigishaya asyaha itara spridaha. They are saying, between one another, due to the desire for domination, we were spridaha. Spardaha means competition and quarrel we had with each other. And then they are saying, grantha praja swa atinirgrina prabhu. We became extremely cruel and attacked one another. Mrityam pura twa viganaya durmadaha. So they are saying that by such cruelty, in front of death, you abhiganaya durmadaha, such arrogant people disregarding you, we all came to a situation where this fellow captured us and he has put us. Actually, they are also calling Krishna as time. You are the time personified. See, somebody asked Prabhupada, why do you always say Krishna is very beautiful? That means God is one-sided. Prabhupada said, you don't know that God is two-sided. God also has a very ugly and dangerous form, which is Kala Rupa, which Krishna showed to Arjuna in the Kurukshetra battlefield. He showed Vishwarupa and Kala Rupa. Both Krishna shows in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Kalosmyaham, he says. Where Arjuna saw there were faces which were very cruel and fire was emanating and it was crushing with the teeth all the warriors like Dushasana, Duryodhana, Shakuna, all those people like that. So Prabhupada said, if you don't surrender to Krishna, then the Kala Rupa is there for you. That cruel form. And if you surrender to Krishna, then as the king surrendered to Krishna, they saw not the Kala Rupa, they saw Krishna Rupa. They saw the beautiful form of Krishna. So, they are saying, we arrogantly disregarded you, O Lord. You stood before us as death, but now, that powerful form of yours called time, moving mysteriously and irresistibly, has deprived us of our opulences. Now that you have mercifully destroyed our pride, we beg simply to remember your lotus feet. Smaramate, they are saying, let us remember. Vinashta darpaha, having destroyed our pride, charanau smaramate, let us remember your lotus feet, they are saying. And then they are saying, ato na rajyam mriga trishni rupitam dehe na shashvat patata rujam bhuva upasitavyam sprahaya mahe vibho kriyafalam pretya chakarna rochanam. They are saying all this Vedic sacrifices people do to go to heaven, it's only karna rochanam, it's only a delight for the ears, because it's all temporary. We are not attracted to all those things, they are saying. Nor, O Almighty Lord, will we hanker to enjoy the heavenly fruits of pious work. They are saying, see, upasitavyam sprahayamahe vibho. Ato na rajyam mrigatish nirupitam. This rajyam or any type of mastership in this world is mrigatrishni, he is saying. Mrigatrishni rupitam is only a mirage, he is saying. So Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, in this world all the living entities are struggling for mastership. And they are all struggling to be at the center. So there is a very constant competition in this world to be at the center and be a master. But the center is the hot spot. It is such a hot spot that even when Krishna is at the center, living entities are not all right. You will find the living entities have a quarrel with Krishna in the spiritual world, they have turned away from him. So the kings are understanding that ato narajyam bhagatesh nirupitam dehena shashvat patataru jambhuva. So and they are saying that the body, which is simply a source of diseases, rujam bhuva is saying, and suffering, and it is declaring at every moment, how can this body be ever any time a master? Therefore Rahugana was preached by Jadabharata very beautifully. Jadabharata said, King Rahugana, there is only one master in this world. Who is that? God Vasudeva. And he is undying master, imperishable master, eternal master. And his position is unchallenged. He is asama urdhva. Asama avurdhva. There is nobody equal to him and nobody greater than him. But anybody else in this world is made a master by Lord Vasudeva. That is only to represent him. So that person is servant of Lord Vasudeva. Like we say, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava, Guru Devo Bhava. These are all Deva. They are used by the name, even Naradeva we say. These people are all leaders in this world who represent the Lord, but they are never the masters. So the kings have come to this realization. So they are not hankering for, and then they are saying, now comes very special prayers from here. Tam nas samadhi shopayam. Yena te charanabjayoho smritir yatana viramet api samsmaratamiha. They are saying samna samadhi shopayam, please now you instruct us, order us. Ya upay means an idea for what? Yena te charanabjayoho, by which your lotus feet smritir yatha na viramet, even for a moment, how we can not forget your lotus feet? For that, give us a upayam. And then they are saying api samsmaratamiha, although we don't mind living in the samsara. They are saying api means what? Even though api samsmaratamiha, which clearly shows they are not aspiring for moksha. Their desire is beyond moksha also. They are saying api samsmaratamiha, even though we are living in the samsara, we don't mind. We are not asking you for deliverance from even jail. We are not even asking you for deliverance from this jail of material world also. But you please kindly give us a upay or instruction by which smritir yata na viramed. Smritir means remembrance of Krishna. Na viramed. Let it never stop. Let it continue continuously. See, this is a typical prayer of all pure Vaishnavas. You will see. Please repeat this prayer. Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatya Yache Smarantame Kantamiyantam Artham Avismritistvacharanaravinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. See, this is Kulashekara offering prayer. He is saying, Bhave Bhave, birth after birth, let me always remember you. Avismuti Tvacharanaravinde, let there never be forgetfulness of your lotus feet. I bow down my head at your lotus feet and I beg you, Krishna. Like that is praying. Similarly, there is a next, immediately following verse in Kulashekara's prayer, it's a beautiful verse also. Naham Vande Tavacharanayor Dvandvamadvandvaheto Kumbhi Pakam Gurumapi Hare Narakam Napanetum Ramya Rama Mrudutanulata Nandane Napirantum Bhave Bhave Hridaya Bhavane Bhavayayam Bhavantam. He is saying, my dear Lord, I don't pray to you for release from Kumbhipak hell if I have done sinful activities. And although you have told in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami, still I don't pray to you for deliverance from my sinful reactions. I am ready to go to Kumbhipak hell provided I can remember you. Nor am I aspiring for the tender-bodied apsaras of the heaven, whose association, whose fragrant bodies are alluring even the demigods. I am not aspiring for their association. Neither am I praying for freedom from pain, suffering, nor am I offering prayer for delightful enjoyments of the heaven, he is saying. And then he is saying, birth after birth, I only aspire for your loving remembrance. So the king is actually offering a pure Vaishnava prayer, all these kings, you see. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणतक्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. So Chakravarti Thakur has commented very nicely for this. He is saying, the kings laid down with all eight limbs touching the ground to offer respect to Krishna. That means Ashtanga Pranam they did. They then engaged in Krishna Nama Sankirtan. How did they do Nama Sankirtan? Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Govindaya. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari Haraye Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Nama Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Moha Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudana Giridhare Gopinath Madana Mohana Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Like that they did Sankirtan. So they engaged in Krishnanama Sankirtan. While requesting the Lord to mercifully teach them, even though they were unqualified. They were begging the Lord, please teach us how we can remember you. Give us your constant remembrance. Actually, Chakravarti Thakur says that one may ask, oh Lord, give me taste for the holy name. No. First ask, let me keep awake in chanting. Unless you are awake, then how can you get the taste for chanting? They are humble, considering them not fit for demanding. Give us your constant remembrance. They are not asking. One should ask something to go ahead from here than something very high. See, the prayer is very special here. What they are saying, they are saying, tamna samadhi shopayam. They want instruction by which they can cultivate remembrance. They are not even asking for remembrance. They want upadesh. Actually, people hate upadesh, correct, no? People say, hey, don't tell me big upadesh, Prabhu. People say, no, I have bahut sun liya, heard so much. Nobody wants instruction. You give a lecture, people run away. People look at the watch, when will the lecture get over? But from the kings, we can learn that one should never look at the watch. Be ready to hear the instruction, isn't it? So, they are saying that, give us instruction. We'll repeat this verse again. Tamna samadhi shopayam yena te charanab jayoho smritiryata anaviramed api samsmarata amiha. They are saying, Smitir yata na viramed, let our remembrance of you never stop. Even if we have to live in samsara, we don't mind. But you give us the instruction by which you can cultivate such remembrance. See, taste for the holy name. Before that, we have to remember the Lord. And before that, we have to get instructions on how to remember the Lord. So they are ready. They feel with themselves very humble, not actually fit for demanding big things from the Lord. This is what pleased me the most. So when I read it, I was stunned. I felt, oh, I have to be very careful about my prayer. What prayer we are offering to the Lord. And then between remembrance and protection, they are praying for remembrance. They are not saying that protect us from Jarasandha, take us out to the jail and let us go back to our kingdom and be happy. No. If we have to continue to be in this jail, we can be, as long as you can award us remembrance. Instead, they are going to say now, in case you are sending us back to our kingdoms, we don't want to be kings. You be our only king, they are saying. Why? Because we may become kings and we may become proud again. Huh? And we may become forgetful of you. So, being in Jarasandha's jail and remembering you is better than being a king in our own kingdoms and becoming forgetful of you. Like that they are going to say. Subsequently, they will say that. Such a beautiful prayer. Huh? So, after doing this Sankirtan, then Shukadeva Goswami is saying, Shri Shuka Vacha Samstuyamano Bhagavan Rajavir Mukta Bandhanaihi Tanaha Karunastata Sharanya Shlakshnaya Gira. Yeah. See, it is mentioned, after hearing the Samstuyamana, very beautifully praised Bhagavan Krishna, when he heard that wonderful prayer, Lord, what did he do? Mukta Bandhanaihi. He removed them from their bondage. That means he liberated from the jail. And then he, haha means he spoke. Karunaha, with great merciful disposition, offering them his shelter with very gentle voice, Lakshnaya Vacha. Sweet voice Krishna spoke. See, one amazing thing with Krishna's speech is, the word is called as Shlakshnaya, also Mega Gambhiraya Vacha. Any of you want to give a try? You have to speak like Mega Gambhiraya, means like a thunder, or like a thundering cloud. That is Mega Gambhiraya Vacha. Shlakshnaya means very sweet. How can I combine both? The contradictions can only be resolved in Lord's personality. Lord Narasimha can have a soft, butter-like hands to touch Prahlad's head. And just at the tip of those fingers, he can have a cutting tool like nails to tear the body of Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, Tavakara Kamalavare Nakham Adbutam. Adbhuta Shringam. Why the Adbutam? The contradiction is resolved in Narasimha's hands. Softness and hardness, both in one place. Isn't it? Similarly, Lord has hot eye and cool eye, sun and moon. One is a very cool eye, supplying juices, and a hot eye, supplying the rainwater. See how contradiction is resolved in the Lord. You can see that. So here also you find Lord is speaking sweetly. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Unfortunately, when we are beginning Lord's sweet speech, the time is coming to an end now. Only 5 minutes left. We will try to read. Atya Prabharti Vo Bhupa. मय्यात्मन्यखिलेश्वरे सुदृढा जायते भक्तिर् बाढ़ं आशंसितं तथा. God is saying, adya means today. Adya bibrati vah bhupa. Oh my dear kings, mayi atmani akhileshware. I am actually the supreme controller and you have invested your consciousness in me. And he is saying that Sudrida Jayate Bhaktihi. My Lord, what a blessing Lord is giving. Sudrida Jayate Bhakti. Let there be Drida Bhakti in your heart for me, who is Akhileshwar. I am the Supreme Lord. Let there be Drida Bhakti for you from today onwards. Already there is Bhakti in you, but I am giving you blessing that will completely make sure that you will never become bewildered or carried away in this world by the current of Maya. So, Lord is offering a blessing. Sudrida Jayate Bhaktir. He is saying. Badham Asham Sitam Tata. And whatever you have desired, that I will bless you. Because you only desired remembrance of me and love for me. And I bless you that you will get that. He is saying. Drishtya Vyavasitam Bhupa Bhavantarita Bhashinaha Shri Aishwarya Madonnaham Pashya Unmadakam Dhrinam. God is saying, actually, my dear king, fortunately, Dishtya means very fortunately. See, many of us sitting here, we must have faced certain challenges and difficulties in our Krishna consciousness at some time or other. And at that time, our minds might have contemplated leaving Krishna consciousness. But the very fact that you are sitting here shows you didn't leave. Or you left only for a short time and came back. Maybe for, like one fellow left the ISKCON temple and wanted to go for surfing in the ocean. But while surfing, a big shark came. And the shark was opening the mouth wide open. He thought, did I leave the temple for this? My Lord, I am going to be swallowed. If he went left, shark also came left. If he went right, shark also came right. He was wondering, how am I going to escape? Then he loudly called out the holy name. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare! And he opened his eyes and shark disappeared. Then he ran back to temple again. So like that, sometimes people leave Krishna consciousness for a short while to take a break. And the break breaks their head. Then they come back running again. So, but since we all are back always in Krishna's lotus feet, we are very fortunate. He's saying, Dishtya. Dishtya, Vivasitam Bhupa. Your determination for me, for my bhakti, it's really fortunate, my dear kings. Krishna is appreciating. Bhavantaha, Ritabhashinaha, whatever you spoke is true. You are really intelligent because many kings become proud, intoxicated, they forget the reality of this world. But you people are very intelligent. You know that the world is temporary. But devotional service to me alone is reality. And then he's saying, Aishwarya, Mada Unnaham, Pashye Unmadakam Nranam. Yes, it is indeed true, my dear kings. When one has no self-restraint because of intoxication of power and post position and everything, it simply leads to madness. Very true. Hai hayo nahusho veno. Ravano narako apare. Srimadat bhramshita sthanat. Devadaitya nareshwaraha. So now we can't elaborate on this. It'll take some time. Hai haya means who? Kartavirya Arjun. Because of pride, he stole away the Kamadenu cow from Brahmana Jamadagni, isn't it? And Nahusha, although he was very humble on earth, when he became the heavenly king, he became very proud. And he wanted to, there was one Mrs. Indra of the previous Indra, who was also living in heaven. So he called for her, hey, come. Now that I have become Indra, you should give me enjoyment. So she became worried. So she complained to the Saptarishis. And then Saptarishis told her, ask him to, tell him that only when Saptarishis lift a palki, palanquin, and bring him to your Antapur, only then you will entertain him. And also she said that. Then immediately he said, oh, I can control anybody. So he called with Saptarishis to lift a palanquin for him. So one side four rishis, other side three rishis. And one rishi was short like myself, Agastya Rishi, shortest of the Saptarishis. So he was very short. So what happened? The palki was going in one side. So Nahusha became very angry. He said, hey, what is this? Just like Rahugana became angry. I think whoever sits on palki becomes angry, I think. Isn't it? He put his leg out and kicked, saying that, take it properly or something. Sarpa, sarpa, he said, fast, fast. And then he was cursed to become a sarpa. He became a sarpa gliding down in the antariksha and he fell in the Himalayan range. Later on, he had an encounter with Bhima and Yudhishthir and he was delivered. But the point is what? Nahusha became proud, being the king of heaven. Like that, he's telling all the different names. Ravana, needless to say about Ravana. Naraka is actually Bhaumasura. And many other rulers, all of them, fell from the elevated positions because of infatuation with material opulence. Bhavanta etad vijnaya. Dehadyutpadyamantavat. Mam yajanto dvarair yuktaha. Prajadharmena rakshyatha. Prajadharmena rakshyatha. He is saying that knowing well that the metal body and everything connected with metal body has a beginning and end. Metal body is created at a point of time. It is finished at another point of time. It's all perishable, finishable commodity. So remember this temporary situation of the metal body. Number one, first instruction he gave him. Second instruction he is giving. Worship me by Vedic yajnas, he said. Because yajna means yajna by Vishnu. That which is done for the pleasure of Lord Krishna is yajna. And thirdly, he says, with clear intelligence, protect your subjects in accordance with principles of religion. That means not only you be religious, you also teach your praja to be religious. You perform yajna and also teach them principles of religion. Protect the praja, he is saying. So three things. So we will please repeat after me. Remember material body and everything connected to material body to be temporary. The first instruction. Second instruction he gave, do yajna. Protect praja by training them in religiousness. Three things he teaches. One for the praja, one for himself, and one for right vision. To know that the things are, material things are temporary, spirituality is reality. So doing yajna is for spirituality. And see the material world and body and everything to be temporary. And then once you do this, then you will not be intoxicated. Then you protect the praja by teaching them also to be religious. Three instructions he gave him. Santavanta prajatantun sukham dukham bhava bhavau praptam praptam cha sevanto machitta vicharishyatha. Yeah, Lord is saying, as you live your lives begetting generations of progeny and encountering happiness and distress, birth and death, always keep your minds fixed on me. That means he's telling, as a king, you beget progeny, and also you will encounter sukha dukha shita ushnata, you know, labh alabh, like Krishna says, sukha dukhe samekritva labha labho jaya jaya, all those things will come. But in all these things, keep your minds fixed on me, don't get carried away. Because in this world, when dukkha comes, we want to counteract it and get sukha. When sukha comes, we become proud and we want to show off. Similarly, if apaman comes, we want to defeat the people who are doing apaman to us. Man comes, we become intoxicated. So he says that don't get sidelined by these dualities. Like that he's saying. Udasinascha dehadav atma rama dhritavrataha mayya vesya manah samyan mamante brahmayasyata. In this way, doing these things and doing devotion service to me, you be detached from the body and possessions, be self-satisfied, keep the vows which you took now, and then at the end of your life, you will come back to me, he says. And then this is what is Krishna's speech. Shri Shuka Vuvacha Iti Adishya Nripan Krishna. Now the sweet part of the chapter is coming. You will see. Iti Adishya Nripan. In this way, instructed by Krishna, Bhagavan Bhuvaneshwarah Tesham Nyayungta Purushan Striyo Majjanakarmani. So now Krishna brought them out of the jail and engaged the servants and servant maids, everybody, to bathe the king's body, because king's bodies were emaciated. So he gave Abhyanga for the king's body, and gave them an oil bath, and after that put very nice dresses for them, kingly dress, and ornamented them with ornaments, also arranged for sandalwood pulp to be applied on their bodies, and put mukut for each of them, and then kundal also, everything, and arranged one chariot for them, and put them all in chariots. And then Krishna will again instruct them. He will tell them that you all go back to your kingdoms now, whichever you are ruling before, and continue to rule, but with the awareness of how the Lord is supreme and we are subordinate, and do not become intoxicated. As he told you, do yajna and teach people to do yajna, and also become free, be free from false pride and all that. So that's what Krishna will do in the rest of the chapter, which I leave it as a homework for you, from verse number 24 to 35. Only 10 more verses you can complete. This is 10th canto, 73rd chapter. 10th canto, 10th chapter. That is the easy part for you. You can read, if you want the happy ending of this pastime, you can read that. All the kings, they became pure devotees. When they all went back to their places, see how Krishna is intelligent. Instead of leaving the kings behind in this deserted position. Actually, he, by sending these kings to different parts of the world, he understood that their prayer is of pure devotional service. So, since they had fully surrendered to him, he sent them to nook and corner of the world and spreaded Krishna consciousness through them by placing them in their respective positions. So, just as we read about the 16,000, you know, the princesses who are all in a very deserted position. They all told Krishna, actually, nobody will marry us because we were touched by Bhaumasura. Now we are put in the jail for so many years. You know, who will marry us? We are actually like a social non-entity. See, this is very good for preaching also. We can tell people how Lord Krishna is a social reformer. Also, he accepted 16,000 deserted girls, princesses, whom even an ordinary man in society will not marry. But Krishna not only married, what did he give them? He gave them one palace. He gave them nice costly saris to wear and ornaments, nice foods to eat, and not only that, he expanded himself and lived with each and every one of them. Is it not a very wonderful thing? Same thing Krishna did with these kings also, similarly. He actually gave them they had become emaciated and almost dead practically. But then he gave them his darshan, sweet darshan, and gave them blessing and benediction, gave them upadesh, gave them blessing and benedictions, sent them back to their kingdom. They all became ideal role model, pure devotee kings, and did great good for the whole world in the time that followed, subsequently. Krishna Bhagavan ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. To sabse pehle hum His Grace Radhesham Prabhu ko dhanyavaad denge. दो चीज़ें के लिए, आज का एक सुंदर प्रवचन के लिए और साथ साथ इस्कॉन ने राधेश्याम प्रभु को ये जो इस्कॉन पुणे का अध्यक्ष है, इसके अलावा और एक रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी दिया है, वो इस्कॉन ग्लोबल ड्यूटी ऑफिसर। तो आइए हम हृदयपूर्वक राधेश्याम प्रभु को तीन बार धन्यवाद देंगे और उनका स्वागत भी करेंगे। हरी बोल, हरी बोल, हरी बोल इस ग्रेस राधेश्याम प्रभु की।
सो I have a small request to the congregation devotees. You can spread the word. I'll be, by the order of GBC and my spiritual master, I'll be going to Boston twice a year for almost 3 weeks or so. So, in Boston, the GBC is His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj and Parampuja Ranath Maharaj visits also. They both have been telling before also that from Pune we should offer some support to preach in Boston. One Mukunda Lila Prabhu, connected to our Calcutta temple, he is sending some couple of students to study in a university close to Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So from Pune side, I am planning to visit, but the reason I am telling you so openly is many of people known to you may be going abroad, and in case they join any university, either Massachusetts joining is not very easy, MIT USA, but they can stay near MIT USA and help us in preaching. So now we are desperately looking for people who can assist in preaching in the, especially in the West, in Boston, in New York. There is a Bhakti Center which you all know already, some devotees are there, but Boston is a place which is an educational hub. So a lot of powerful universities are there. So from this year I may make a beginning, and I seek all your blessings. And Parampuja Ranath Maharaj had told me this even before the GDO, the Global Duty Officer's duty was given to me, even before that, last 3-4 months ago Maharaj had told. So when this came, I was very happy because it's blessed by Guru, and also it was requested by His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, who is a very dear friend of Ranath Maharaj. Plus, there is one Vanamali Pandit Prabhu, who is a very close associate of Balagovind Prabhu, who is the president there in Boston. So if any of you have people in America, relatives, friends known to you, and if they are in and around Boston, you think, like one devotee is our Rahul Prabhu, some of you may know, who is Ramchand Prabhu now. He is doing his postdoctoral fellowship in Boston, he is doing. So like that, if any of you know, you are welcome to send a mail to me directly, and I will connect them to Boston Temple as well as to preaching, youth preaching at Boston, USA. Thank you.